coming up on podcast 1235. We do an EV sales update for you. We look at the ID4, the XC40, the Taycan, and the Mustang Mach-E. How are they selling? We're going to find out. Also on the show today, we look at the Western European EV sales for September. The Hummer EV gets driven, and how many people want to get hold of the little Citroen Ami city car? Those stories and much more coming up today. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you are in the world, welcome to EV News Daily. For Tuesday, 5th of October, my name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. And welcome to a brand new member of the Patreon family, a brand new producer of the podcast. That'll be you, Jeremy Warner. Hey, Jeremy, thank you so much for signing up and putting this show on the air and bringing this show for free to people all around the world to learn about electric vehicles. Well, let's start with a great bit of news. Record share for the Western European EV car registrations in September, almost a week into a new month, so we're getting lots of September data coming out now. And the monthly share of brand new EVs, zero emission battery electric vehicles, we're talking about here, specifically pure electric cars, as a percentage of the total new car market, reached a new high last month in September. We're looking at the Western European market. 15.3% of all new passenger cars entering the market registered were pure electric vehicles, and that's amazing. Pure electric cars starting to creep up the table. And you know, when people say, well, you know, EVs are such a small percentage of new car sales, you've got to say, yeah, well, which country are you talking about? Because some countries, they're, you know, 70-80%. We're looking at you, Norway. Some places like Western Europe, 15% now, and that is brilliant. And yeah, sure, some places still do got some catching up to do. Well, Matthias Schmidt, who is an auto analyst, says that just under 136,000 new pure electric cars entered the 18 markets that he looks at, that he clumps into Western European markets, which does include the UK as well. Despite volumes falling 30,000 short of the all-time monthly volume high, that was in December 2020, passenger car manufacturers made a last-ditch attempt to meet the new CO2 emissions regulations to avoid those fines at the end of 2020. Which is why, well, September's BEV sales saw levels surpass that in terms of market share, if not pure numbers. Now, a number of reasons impacted the new record in September. A boost from Tesla's end of quarter volumes. That will all get smoothed out when they finally get Giga Berlin open. But yeah, some months you'll look at the sales volumes for Tesla, and they're just nowhere, not in the top 20. You think, what on earth is going on? If you just looked at the monthly numbers, if you didn't realize, and you do because you listen to this podcast. And then some months, like in September, number one in Germany. And of course, everyone then tweets that out of the little sales chart of, oh my goodness, Model 3 was the number one car in Germany. Like, yeah, but they didn't sell anything for ages. And that's just to do with the way that they stick their cars on their ships, either coming from Fremont or increasingly Shanghai. I don't know whether like they would prefer it to be more evenly spaced out. I'm sure the people working at Tesla who have an end of quarter rush would like things to be slightly more spaced out over the quarter. But of course, when Berlin opens up, I think that fixes so much. But it was the last month of a quarter, so Tesla did boost those numbers. Model wise introduced from China, and of course the semiconductor situation deflating the total car market in Europe, which means the percentage of EVs went up because they're putting those chips into EVs. Now, let's have a look at a few little sales updates that have been coming in. This is all US, by the way. I should say that at the beginning. Volkswagen's ID4 improved their sales for Q3 up to 6,000. That increases again next quarter, we think, as supply will be increased into the US. The ID4 share out of all the Volkswagen sales in America was 7.6%. The company notes that its data indicates that more than two-thirds of ID4 customers are switching from other brands, and that's great for Volkswagen, looking at that data going, hey, wow, two-thirds of ID4 buyers are not replacing a Volkswagen. They're coming in from other brands. I'm sure they'll be really happy with that. Let's look at Volvo next, and the Volvo Recharge plug-in sub-brand. So those are, yeah, plug-in hybrids and also pure electrics. The Volvo Recharge brand accounted for almost 20%, 18.2% of the total volume of Volvo sales, which is about 1,700 units in California. It was 52% of Volvo sales. Now, more than half of all new Volvos being sold in California have a plug socket on the side, and that's an amazing stat in itself. The total plug-in volume in Q3 was probably about 6,000 across the US. Volvo's Recharge lineup is currently comprised of seven models, two all-electrics, because the C40, remember, is coming soon, and five plug-in hybrids. By 2030, all Volvo models will be completely electric, says InsideEVs.com. In 2022, they launch the successor to the XC90 next year. That's coming out, and it's going to be all-electric, based on their new architecture, and it's going to be made at their South Carolina plant. That's Ridgeville, isn't it? Together with the Polestar 3, also based on the same platform. What about the Taycan and the Taycan Cross Turismo and all the different various versions of that? Well, you guessed it, the sales were up, although not by too much, 0.2% year over year, far behind the outstanding Q2 result they had, but enough to remain the third best-selling Porsche model. The all-electric Porsche Taycan stands for nearly 12.2% of all Porsche sales during the period. And if you look at the Taycan and Taycan Cross Turismo versions, there are nine of those. And finally, we'll look at the Mustang Mach-E in September. Well, their sales were about 1,578 in the US, and that, as a percentage of Ford's total sales, is just 1.1%. So what's happening there is many of the Mustang Mach-Es are being made in Mexico. So many of them are being shipped to Europe because Ford can dodge some of the, again, CO2 fines for the fleet. I won't go into it now, but it means that the US is, I was going to be say, starved of supply, but that's not quite true. Let me get onto that in just a moment. The total volume in the third quarter was 5,880, so less than 6,000. Mustang Mach-E retail sales expanded 10% in September, with almost 20,000 Mach-Es sold through September in total. It ranks second in the full electric SUV sales behind the Model Y. Over-the-air modem activation rates for the Mach-E are the highest, they say, in Ford's portfolio. 97% of owners wanting to connect their cars online. Why wouldn't it be 100? And this is the key thing, though. The stock, the gross stock of Mach-E is about 5,000 in the US at dealerships and, you know, in transport as well. Inside EVs points out the two times more than the 2,500 noted in August. So, yes, they're not supplying too many Mach-Es to North America because they're sending them to Europe, you know, where they're needed. But also, it's not like you can't buy one. There's 5,000 in stock somewhere. So, yeah, I mean, you can call around and get a deal. And if your local Ford dealer is, you know, juicing the price a little bit, call around. I know it might not be convenient to buy a Mach-E from the other side of the country, but hey, you can stick it on a trailer for so much less money than you might think and get it delivered to your house. So, yeah, call around, hit the phones. And if you want a Mustang Mach-E, they are out there. Fantastic, some great numbers there. Okay, let's move on and ask the question, does your next EV need to be 800 volts? And if it's not, are you buying one that's out of date? I'll answer the question now. No, absolutely not. But let me explain a little bit more. New cars coming out like the Porsche Taycan, the Audi e-tron GT, and the Hyundai Ioniq 5 and the Kia EV6 have an 800 volts architecture. So they sit on 800 volts, high voltage battery pack. And most EVs, so I say 800 volts, not they're all very different, by the way. Like the Hyundai and the Kia, just over 700, I think, nominal, and then they'll creep up. And when they're fully charged, the Porsche Taycan, the Audi e-tron GT running slightly higher voltage. But then again, you know, 400 volt systems on EVs. That doesn't mean they all sit at 400, like Teslas are 350, you know? So some are 450 in some EVs. But we are talking more and more about this, and people are asking me more and more about this. Do you need to buy one of these new cars? Will you be left with an outdated car? The answer is absolutely not, but let me explain a little bit more. Cars like the Porsche Taycan have been coming with this very fast charging speed. But of course, you can still use 400-volt chargers, because that's most of them out there, but also the latest ones as well. With battery packs that'll charge well over 200 kilowatts charge speed. Things like the new battery pack on the Hummer is 800 volts, and it can charge... I know you can connect it to a 350 kilowatt charger, but I don't know the peak rate of the Hummer. According to Electronics 360 website, they say another mainstream high-volume brand implementing 800-volt systems is the Hyundai and Kia cars. You can charge them at 232 kilowatts. While confirming the growing interest in 800-volt systems in charging, in power electronics, etc., the supplier to the automotive industry, Delphi Technologies, and even Hitachi as well, both developing 800-volt inverters, and have done so. Delphi claiming it'll be supplying the 800-volt Viper inverter to at least three out of the top four global premium car makers by 2024. So, these systems are making their way into the cars that you and I buy. Do you need to make sure your next car has a higher voltage? Look, absolutely not. Yes, you can charge quicker on some of those vehicles, but a Tesla will charge at 250 as well. It just requires more current or amps. I mean, and this won't be a science lesson right now. It's just a different way to get charging speed into your vehicle. And of course, with more current comes things like more heat at the pins, particularly at the pins of the sockets as well. And so liquid-cooled cables start to be required, and that increases the costs. But no, absolutely not. For those asking me, you buy your favourite EV, and whatever you buy will be totally, current for many, many years to come. All right, next. Citroën says it has taken more than 1,000 orders for the Amy, or rather I should say the Ami, because somebody said to me, it's French, it's meant to be mon ami. Like, oh, okay, don't call it Amy. With the fuel delivery crisis in the UK rumbling on and petrol prices rising by 5 pence per litre, more drivers are reportedly considering buying an EV, and the latest one to hit the market is Citroën's Ami. It's about as long as it is wide. It's a tiny little car and it has a range of 46 miles, according to thisismoney.co.uk. The French automaker Citroën confirming that 1,000 people have now ordered one of those online. 1,130 pre-orders have been placed on the UK website of Citroën. A £250 deposit is refunded if you change your mind. The 5.5 kilowatt hour battery will take you 46 miles at a top speed of 28 miles an hour, but I'm not sure you'll get to 28 miles an hour with a passenger and some luggage. Not too much room for luggage in this, but such a brilliant, cool little car. Volvo are next in the news, and Volvo is owned by the Geely company in China, and they are completing the plans for their public offering, going public from a private company to one being listed, so you can own a bit of it if you want. Announcing details of the listing, we think sometimes this week, in a deal that could value Volvo at $25 billion, according to people familiar with the matter, writes the Wall Street Journal. A listing, if it goes ahead, will represent one of the car industry's most dramatic turnarounds. Ford, which was weakened by the global financial crisis, sold Volvo to Geely for just $1.8 billion back in 2010, and if they do float it and go public, that'll be an amazing return on Geely's investment. But you got to say, Volvo making some fantastic cars as well. That is really, definitely a recovery story there. Right, coming up on the podcast very soon, we will have a look at national charging networks and the Hummer EV gets driven. Stick around. Now, a headline that I saw which says electric cars will reduce energy bills for all consumers was an interesting one. Let's have a look at this. If you drive an EV, you could be helping your neighbours lower their electric bills, according to a new report by the UK regulator Ofgem. This isn't some think tank. This isn't somebody with any skin in the game who are just putting something out that's biased. This is a UK regulator. So, Ofgem say that they have predicted a high number of EVs will reduce the costs for every bill payer in the country, including non-EV owners. The regulator saying that EVs allow the electricity network to actually work better, which reduces the average cost, says the Express newspaper. Ofgem said the market was currently trying to introduce products and services tailored specifically towards EV owners. These EV tariffs offer cheap rates overnight to encourage you to charge your car off-peak periods. However, energy supply was increasingly being bundled in with EV services. They said, "We believe that high numbers of EVs on the system will reduce the total costs of energy for everyone, particularly if the norm becomes to charge off-peak using smart charging. EV owners will benefit from cheaper running costs of EVs compared to fossil cars, but non-EV owners will benefit because EVs enable what is, if you think about it, a better utilisation of the electricity network and generation assets, thereby reducing the unit cost." So the way this works, if you want me to kind of simplify it a little bit, is you have to build an electricity grid for the peak, right? So if you build it for the average, it's not going to work, because when everyone gets home from work, I mean, not every country particularly where there's a lot of solar and during the day, but in most places, you get home between 4 and 7, you put the oven on, you do your household things, and that is normally where the spike is. So you build your grid on a national level to cope with the peak. But then at 2 o'clock in the morning, what are those assets doing, those generation facilities, whether it is wind turbines or something else? So if they're not working at their peak rate, their most efficient, then you're not getting your most bang for your buck. And so people are saying, well, actually, we use electric vehicles to charge overnight, to store some energy. And before you even get into selling that energy back to the grid at peak times, it just means that the whole grid is more efficient, it's more effective, and it lowers the overall unit cost. Makes a lot of sense. Next time somebody who really hates EVs is telling you for their, you know, till they're blue in the face, more reasons why they'll carry on driving their diesel car till it's taken off them, you can say, okay, well, when you're paying less electricity bills at home, you can thank me for driving an EV. Let's talk about charging networks. And what about national charging networks? Should we have them? Do we need them? Some people say yes. Germany's federal ministry opened a tender recently for the first national fast charging network. Companies and consortia are now competing for the bid to set up 900 DC fast charging locations throughout Germany as a national charging network, says Green Car Congress. The German network is intended to ensure the basic supply with fast charging infrastructure in medium and long haul traffic, with around 8,000 additional fast charging points. It complements the already existing large fast charging locations and ensures a nationwide and needs-based fast charging infrastructure throughout the country. In a second tender, the construction and operation of around 200 more fast charging stations at unmanaged rest areas on the federal motorways will also be tendered. The tendering of the nationwide company lots will be carried out in the autumn by the Autobahn company. Yeah, that's really interesting that Germany are going down the route of a national charging network, actually, you know, run by, or at least initiated, even if it's then, you know, a private operation. And also interesting that they're putting them in rest areas as well. And we don't have that. We don't really have motorway rest areas. They tend to be, you know, we call them motorway service stations, but they are, you know, enterprises, and they're, you know, selling you a coffee and a slice of pizza. In continental Europe, it's much more common to have just rest areas where there's not, you know, a big shop and a petrol station, etc., but just somewhere you can pull over and rest safely. Doesn't make anybody any money. Yeah, our government don't tend to do that, and it's a bit rubbish. We could definitely learn from Europe on that. Right, next on the podcast, let's talk about the Hummer EV, finally driven by a few journalists, but not really a proper driving experience, so that's why it's not the headline story today. My friend Tom Malogny had a go in one, the Edition 1 Hummer. Sold out in 10 minutes after they opened up the online ordering last October. Once existing orders for the Edition 1 are filled, GM start making the downmarket versions, and it will appear, they reckon, in the fall of 2022 for about $100,000. That is the EV3X. Then, in 2023, there'll be the EV2X for $90,000. Then there'll be the EV2 in 2024, and that'll cost $80,000. Unlike the original Hummer, says Tom, the Hummer EV is being sold through the GMC dealership network, not standalone. He says that one point to note is that since we were at GM's Proving Grounds in Milford, Michigan. They weren't allowed to take any cameras and recording devices, but rather the media were then provided with pictures and video. Not unusual, but again, it's not really a proper, hey, here's the keys, go and test it kind of road test. Tom says, we were able to do short rock crawls that are about 50 feet long and had some substantially sized boulders to traverse, and the Hummer handled it very well. The 18-camera UltraVision system, he says, is extremely helpful as it allows the driver to view under the vehicle and both sides. What about WTF mode, which is getting a lot of publicity? The What's to Freedom mode, terrible name. When you select WTF, which is launch control, you get audible and haptic feedback as well as a visual demonstration on the display of the car getting ready to do a launch. You confirm that you want to enter the mode. It lowers by 2 inches. The display tells you, like most launch controls, foot on the brake pedal, foot on the accelerator, hard down on both, let off the brake, and off you go. He says it slams you back into the seat like you're glued into it. Now, Tom has recently driven the Model S Long Range, not Plaid, Rivian R1T, Lucid Air Dream Edition, all in the last couple of weeks, all fast, and he said the Hummer's WTF launch felt the fastest of the bunch, but that could be because he was sitting high up in a truck on big knobbly tires. And he said it that wasn't scientific. He wasn't allowed to time it, so it felt fast, though. I'll pop a link to that review. A really, really long review worth reading in the show notes. Final story today. This morning, 80 activists from 12 EU countries have been blocking Shell's main port in Rotterdam in the Netherlands to protest against Shell's greenwashing ads. The protest marks the launch of a new climate campaign demanding the ban of fossil fuel advertising, much like they banned smoking and tobacco products in many European countries. The campaign wants to remove examples of oil or gas companies using any publicity to in any way legitimize what is a harmful activity. Yes, if you remember, like we've all seen those pictures of doctors recommending a certain brand of cigarettes in whenever it was the 1940s or 50s in the US. Of course, before we know better, we do what we do. And yeah, tobacco companies would pay doctors to say, hey, if you've got a sore throat, smoke a cigarette. And we're at that stage now with fossil fuel companies, which is, we know that burning things is very harmful to individuals and also to the planet as well. And we know that these are consequences. So, you know, these environmental campaigners saying, actually, let's ban advertising, which is, you know, an interesting proposal, and clearly is not going to happen overnight. Euronews.com says that the prohibition of advertising or sponsorship in the European Union by any fossil fuel company or vehicles running on fossil fuels for advertising flights or ferries that run on fossil fuels has been proposed. An investigation commissioned by Greenpeace and researched by the DeSmog outfit accuses these companies of using greenwashing to convince you and I that they are actually seeking climate solutions while all the time still burning things, which we know is true, right? That's fine. The report by Greenpeace found that companies were happy to talk the green talk, but not interested in putting things into practice. And I've had some bad charging experiences lately by BP, by Shell, really let down by those charges, and I've talked about it, and yes, people have emailed me to go, you know, like, you're an idiot, Martin, because these are oil companies. They bought these charging networks, so BP bought ChargeMaster and Shell bought New Motion to run them into the ground. And I'm like, that is a conspiracy theory too far, you know, for me. But then, you know, clearly they're not doing that, but still, these are oil companies. And their charging networks have sucked for me lately. But I've been very vocal about that, and other people have good experiences. Right, let's talk about question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. It's back on Sunday this weekend. But you can email me anytime. Hello@evnewsdaily.com is my address. Thanks to our Patreon family and our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one tomorrow, and remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.